Wait, wait, stop, that's the one.
Welcome to Zenten Speaks, a show where I make new friends and reconnect with old ones. A show where everyone's stories may inspire you to tell your own story. In this podcast, we encourage everyone to get rid of shame, guilt, fear, doubt, and judgments for themselves and for others, and replace those with love, empathy, compassion, understanding, kindness, and to do your best in everything that you do. In essence, to get rid of things that no longer serve your well-being, to be true to yourself and be honest with others. No need to be politically correct. That's out the window with 2020. Here, we tell the raw, uncensored story, your story, and tell the truth as you see it. Make sure you live your fulfilled life without permission or apologies. So, if you have a juicy, interesting, raw, unapologetic story, and inspiring, please make sure to contact me at zenten21@gmail.com. It is zenten21@gmail.com. Or you can find me on most social media platforms. You know it. The IG, Instagram, Twitter, Facebook, OnlyFans. I mean, not really. But yes, OnlyFans. Just kidding. Not. As you may guessed it, my name is Zen, and welcome to the show. Yeah, so my question was going to be, those explicit questions, were they part of protocol, or maybe just someone was a perv and they just wanted to ask their own questions?
There's a bishop's handbook. I haven't personally seen it, but it is available online somewhere. And it tells them to ask if the person keeps the law of chastity. It definitely does not tell them to ask specific probing questions as far as like, how many times did you masturbate? How many fingers? Did it feel good? Did you orgasm? It definitely does not say to ask questions like that. But for some reason, some of these guys are perverts and feel like they need to ask those questions. Maybe they enjoy it. They probably do. It's disgusting.
Right. If you thought it was gross, you wouldn't want to know those details. Right. So definitely it's because they're enjoying their power and they're enjoying. So they basically, if they're not having sex outside their marriage, and that's kind of, or if they're not even watching pornography, that's kind of their way of having legal porn or something like that.
Yeah.
Within them is, yeah.
The way I see it, like, those questions should never be asked at all. It's very personal and super inappropriate. But I mean, if they're going to ask those questions, does it matter how many times? Does it matter all the details you either did or didn't? That's all that, like, details shouldn't matter, but it shouldn't even be asked at all. But the church, the LDS church, and other religions too, other Christian religions, they kind of use sexuality and chastity and guilt and shame associated with it. That's kind of what drives them to get people to obey, is by shaming them for natural things and causing people to feel guilty for natural things. It's part of their business model, is to use sexual shame. So I had that interview when I was 12. I had another one when I was 14, because within the Aaronic priesthood, there's deacon, which is 12 and 13 year olds. There's what's called a teacher, that's 14 and 15 year old. And then a priest, which is 16 and 17 years old. And it's all part of the Aaronic priesthood. They just have different positions. Like the deacons can pass the sacrament, which is the bread and the water. The teachers can prepare the sacrament, meaning they can put the bread on the trays, put the water in the cups, get it all ready for sacrament time. The priests are the ones that say the blessing on the sacrament. The sacrament being the bread and the water, where you're like the bread is the body of Christ and the water is the blood of Christ. So that's all in the Aaronic priesthood. And then the priests, the 16, 17-year-olds, they can also perform baptism by immersion, where you dunk someone underwater, pronounce them clean from their sins. But to give them the Holy Ghost, yeah, that's where you have to have the Melchizedek priesthood. So I followed all those steps, but I was just going through the motions, doing what was expected of me. I never loved it. I didn't even want to be there, but I felt like I had to because of family expectations. After my parents got divorced when I was 15, I was going to seminary in high school. Have you heard of seminary?
Not really. You can tell us.
So seminary, it's mostly a Mormon thing. I mean, I've heard the word for other religions, but I suppose it's probably for adults for the other religions. But seminary for Mormons is just another thing where you just learn more about scriptures and the church and all the gospel and all that stuff. But it's not at church on Sunday. In Utah, they allow kids to take released time while they're in high school, to where they can go to seminary during school hours. And there's a separate building, usually across the street from the high school, that you just walk across the street and go to it. And that's where you learn all the church stuff. But it's during school hours. So you don't get an academic credit for it towards graduation. That's why it's called released time. So for example, when I was in high school, there was 8 class periods, and one of my class periods was seminary, so I only got 7 academic credits each school year, but I still had enough to graduate. Outside of Utah, in other states where they have seminary, usually they have to do it early morning before school, so like at 5 a.m., 6 a.m., whatever, for the kids that want to go to it. And it's basically just more church is all it is, but it's not at church. It's not on Sundays. It's during the week. Just another way to learn more about scriptures and everything with the church. And I did that because I was expected to, because my older siblings did. Even though my parents had divorced and my mom, she did the best she could. She was just doing what she felt was right. But I felt like I would be a huge disappointment if I didn't go to seminary and do all the things that were expected. So I kept, even though I didn't enjoy church, I didn't really fully believe in everything. I just went through the motions and did what was expected. It was just to make it so my mom wouldn't be disappointed in me. So I went to seminary. Again, I didn't feel like I felt fit in there, because all the kids were like super close friends, and they loved the gospel. They loved the church. They were super spiritual and like goody goody Molly Mormon people. I didn't love it. I didn't know much. Like when the teacher would tell us to find a certain scripture, turn to Alma, whatever, I'd be sitting there trying to find it, and they're already there. And I would feel so much anxiety, feeling like I didn't know anything compared to these other kids. So again, just like throughout my whole childhood, I felt like I was not Mormon enough for the Mormon kids, and I was too Mormon for the non-Mormon kids. So I had a really hard time fitting in. But I did all 4 years of seminary, 9th through 12th grade. And I got the seminary graduation, like a diploma type thing. But for seminary, it doesn't give you any academic credit. So it really does not even matter towards college or anything. It's totally pointless. But it's a thing for the church. So I did that. At that time in my life, I was inactive from church, meaning I wasn't going every Sunday. I had lost interest. I was, because of the anxiety and feeling like I didn't fit in, I felt so uncomfortable going to church. Like even one of the kids in my Sunday school class was one day he was just looking at me and telling me I'm pathetic. So maybe that was part of why I didn't want to go, but mostly it was because I felt like I wasn't good enough, wasn't knowledgeable enough, didn't know enough about the gospel. Also, even though I hadn't had sex at that point in my life, I still felt like I was like guilty of something. I always felt like I was never doing good enough to make God happy, and felt like I always needed to do more. Looking back, I was doing good enough, but at the time I didn't feel like I was. So I was always feeling stress and anxiety, feeling like I was unworthy, feeling like I felt like I was hiding things, even though I wasn't. I felt like I was hiding things because I wasn't wanting to go to church and wanting to actively participate in things and didn't know enough about the gospel. And I just always felt so inferior and unworthy compared to other kids. I never participated in the baptisms for the dead. That's a Mormon thing, by the way, where when you have to be at least 12 years old or older to do this. The kids will go in groups to the temple, and they'll do a baptism by immersion, but it's not in their name. It's the name of someone who's already passed away. And the teaching is that doing it for the person who's passed away gives them the blessing of baptism. I'm not sure how that really would even work. It's a Mormon thing. It's weird. I never went and did those. I never went to a youth camp or any of those things. I did participate in Boy Scouts a little bit, but even there, I felt like I didn't fit in. I always felt like I never fit in with any of the other Mormon kids because I didn't love it and I wasn't super knowledgeable. So I never really had like a strong testimony of the scriptures or Joseph Smith or any of that. I didn't know much about it at all, really. Like I had read the scriptures at church when I had to, just to participate, but I never really read at home in my own personal time. And that is probably why I wasn't super knowledgeable with gospel things, because I wasn't doing my own personal scripture study.
So question.
Yeah.
So your parents is divorced, but you weren't going as much. How about your mother? Was she going?
Yeah, she still goes today, and she's 61 years old.
So when you have to go with her, though, did she allow you to not go because you're under 18 then, right?
Yeah, she would. Well, when I was a teenager, I started figuring out ways to not have to go. It would get to the point where, because of how badly I did not want to go, I would pretend to be sick. I would say, oh, I have an upset stomach. Oh, I have a headache. And I would fake being sick so I could stay home. And a couple times this is kind of funny now looking back, a couple times I got like some instant oatmeal, put it in my mouth, and some water in my mouth. And then I would go where she could see me and I would spit it out, look like I'm throwing up, to make her think I was too sick to go to church. Cause I really didn't want to go. I hated it. I didn't fit in. I felt so out of place. I felt like everyone was judging me. And because I faked it enough and made excuses enough, she eventually got to the point where she realized I didn't want to go. So she was like, are you going to go to church? She wouldn't say, you have to go. Come on, let's go. She would say, are you going to go? So I definitely felt the shame and the guilt of disappointing her, but she wasn't forcing me to go in a way where she's going to punish me if I don't. I guess it's called milieu control, to where you feel like you're pressured to do something because you're letting people down if you don't. That's what it was like for me. But eventually I got to the point where I didn't, like I cared, but, and it was eating me up inside, all this guilt and shame of disappointing my mom for not going, but I couldn't keep going. It was just so, make me feel so out of place and everything. But I did continue going to seminary, even though I wasn't going to church on Sunday. So that was kind of weird. That might've been, I suppose if I went to church on Sunday while I was going to seminary, maybe I would have been able to fit in more with the kids in seminary, but Probably not, because I was never fully a believer. I heard of Joseph Smith. I heard of the first vision and all that stuff. I believed maybe it happened, but I didn't deep down feel inside that it's totally 100% true. I never had the burning in the bosom. I never had a strong testimony. I basically, as far as testimonies go, I basically would just, anytime I had to share my testimony, say my testimony, anytime I was expected to say it, I would just say the things that everyone else said. I would, you know, the typical things that Mormons say in their testimony is the church is true. Joseph Smith was a prophet. So-and-so, whoever's the prophet now is the true prophet. So like Russell Nelson, I call him Rusty, but Russell Nelson is a prophet. Jesus loves me, blah, blah, blah. Just the typical canned responses.
I've read those. Every time I speak to them.
And if you might have not observed this, you probably haven't observed this since you were never really going to a Mormon church, but when they do the first Sunday of every month, they have what's called Fast Sunday. Fast and Testimony Meeting is what they do in the sacrament meeting, and it's the one where they allow the congregation, people that are there, to go up on the stand to the podium and say their testimony, share their testimony. And you'll see kids go up there, like little kids, even as young as like three or four years old, go up to the microphone. And obviously they're just kids. They don't know enough to say what they believe in. You'll see parents go up there with them, whispering in their ear. And the kids will say in the microphone what their parents are whispering to them, which that right there is brainwashing. Teaching kids from such a young age to say that they believe in Joseph Smith and the gospel and Jesus and all that, that's definitely brainwashing. I don't know how members of the church can't see. I mean, you can literally see someone being brainwashed right in front of your eyes by seeing them repeat what their parents whisper in their ear. And that happened with me. I do remember when I was super young, my parents whispering things to me, but I wasn't one of those kids. As I got older, I wasn't one that enjoyed going up there. I hardly ever went up there. Anytime I shared a testimony, it was only when people specifically asked me to do it. And I never wanted to because I knew I didn't fully believe in things. So going back to when I was in seminary, I did graduate seminary all 4 years. I had to make sure to pass all my other regular school classes because I don't remember the exact number. I think it's 27. You have to have about 27 credits to graduate. And if you take seminary 9th through 12th grade, that eats up one academic credit each year. And the way it was for me when I was in high school, it made it so that I had to make sure to pass all my other classes. There was no room for failing any classes if I were to graduate and get my diploma. I did, thankfully. I was always a good student. My GPA was always above 3.4. But some kids, because of taking seminary, if they failed their other classes, they would have to do summer school or whatever to make up for those credits that seminary was occupying. So I'm just lucky that I was passing my other classes, doing good academically, so I was still able to graduate. And then after seminary, after graduation, at that point in my life, I, like I've said before, I was just going through the motions, doing what was expected of me, but I wasn't a believer. So I was secretly doing these things that normal teenagers do. When I was in 10th grade, 9th and 10th grade, I did start getting into the regular typical things like masturbation, looking at pornography, which in my opinion, they're not bad things. They're normal, healthy things, but the church teaches that they're horrible, evil, disgusting sins. The church has taught in the past, the church has taught that masturbation leads to homosexuality. That's a Mormon church teaching from one of their former prophets. I never confessed it to the bishops because I felt like it was not their business. I felt like I would be okay just talking to God through prayer, repenting through prayer for these things. I felt like there was no need for a middleman, so I never went to a bishop about these things. 14 years old, I had really started messing around with girls. I had a girlfriend that she was also Mormon, and we would make out. I would touch her breasts, you know, do things like that. The things that you're not supposed to do if you're keeping the law of chastity, but I never went to a bishop about it.
They don't have chaperones?
What's that?
You guys didn't have chaperones when you hang out? Don't you have to hang out in pairs?
So we were probably supposed to, but surprisingly, my mom was like, even though she expected me to go to church, she also allowed me to be in my bedroom with the door closed with girls. She gave me a lot. I suppose she had a lot of trust in me, and obviously I was doing what I wasn't supposed to be doing, but I never told her, you know, I hid it from her. And so I was messing around with girls as young as 14 years old, when I was 14 years old. And then when I was 15 years old, I got my first blowjob when I was 15. And in my mind, I didn't consider that sex, even though, I mean, it could be considered sex, it's oral sex, but in my mind, I didn't consider it sex. And so I didn't feel the need to talk to a bishop about it. I'm sure I probably did pray for forgiveness from God at some point. The way the teachings are around sexuality and masturbation and all that stuff, the Mormon church teaches that it's a sin even just to have the thoughts, even just to have sexual thoughts. They teach that lusting after someone in your heart is the same as adultery. And they teach that adultery is a sin almost as bad as murder. Like, there's murder and then there's adultery right there. That's how severe the Mormon church teaches it is. So of course, doing anything with that, if people believe the teachings, then they're going to feel like they're this horrible person that's going to go to hell. And so I did always feel guilt because of doing these normal things, exploring my sexuality with girls, you know, stuff that the normal teenagers do, you know. And I had to hide it from my parents. I had to hide it from the bishop because I did not feel the need to talk to the bishop about it. But so that was a lot of my shame and guilt. Was I knew I had done things that I should have talked to a bishop about, but because I never talked to a bishop, I was always just carrying that guilt around with me. But I was still, in my mind, I was still a virgin, even though I had received oral sex when I was 15. I considered myself to still be a virgin because I hadn't actually done actual penetration sex.
And what is that thing we call docking?
Docking, that's a funny thing, really.
You heard of it? I heard it's a woman thing, yeah.
Yeah, so docking, and I'm not sure how people are able to justify it, but docking is where a guy will put his penis in the vagina and not move, just have it sit there. So it's also called soaking or docking. And they'll just sit there and hold still with it in there and not thrust. And it's like, it's already in there. How is that not...
Right.
How is that not the same as sex? But somehow they're able to justify that it's the motion, the thrusting, that's the sinful part.
So, but if you ejaculate.
Yeah, exactly. I don't know how they're able to justify it. I mean, I guess they're just super rationalizing. They're really playing mental gymnastics, trying to say right. That. Okay.
Well, it's just when a Catholic, they do anal sex to justify... Yeah.
Right. And that's a Mormon thing too, evidently. I had never heard of it when I was younger, but they also taught that, I mean, they also thought that if you do anal sex and not vaginal sex, that it's still okay. So
that's sodomy though.
Yeah. And sodomy is mentioned in the Bible, right? So I don't know how Mormons can justify it, but jokingly, some people call it the poop hole loophole because it's a loophole to getting around the law of chastity. I that was one when I was younger, like that never appealed to me for one thing. Like, I never had the desire to do that when I was younger. But for another thing, like, thinking about doing that, to me, in my mind, that was just as bad as, and when I say bad, I personally don't feel like it's bad, but the teaching that it's bad and sinful. In my mind, I thought that that was just as bad as regular vaginal sex. So I never tried that, trying to get away with that, because I considered it just as bad as regular actual sex. But I thought the oral sex was okay. I thought the oral sex wasn't as bad. So in my mind, I thought I was still a virgin. And I guess I technically was, but I didn't consider myself having had sex receiving a blowjob. I thought I was okay with that. I didn't think it was super bad of me. I wouldn't have confessed it to a bishop, because if you confess sexual things to a bishop, you get punished by not being allowed to take the sacrament, not being allowed to do prayers at church. And so when you see someone at church not taking the sacrament, everyone's going to gossip and they'll assume that that person did a sexual sin. Mm-hmm. That's another reason I never confessed to the bishop, because I knew if I did, he would tell me I can't take the sacrament. And then people would make assumptions that I did something, and I didn't want all that guilt and shame. So that was another reason I never talked to the bishop, because I didn't want to have to deal with that guilt and shame. And I also felt like it was not his business. I felt like I could just talk to God and repent with God. Mm-hmm. And I might have had some level of scrupulosity. I definitely had really high anxiety and stress, because thinking back, the prayers I said when I did pray, in every prayer, I would always say, "Forgive me for things I have done and said, and for inappropriate thoughts I have had." So I would pray to be forgiven for my thoughts. And people really can't control their thoughts. Like, you'll have intrusive thoughts. You see a good looking girl and, whoa, she's good looking, I would love to mess around with her. You can't really help what kind of thoughts you have. You can control your actions, obviously. So like, you see a good looking girl, you can control yourself, so you're not going to go over there and touch her. But to look at her and think she's good looking and think about doing sexual things with her, like, that's a natural thought that could occur. But the church teaches that it's bad to even have thoughts. So just for having natural thoughts that would come into my mind, I felt like I was horrible and disgusting and bad and evil just for thoughts. That's how bad my interpretation of the doctrine and the gospel was. It's different for everybody. Some people think it's okay to have thoughts, and it really is. It's fine. But I always felt like it was bad just to have those thoughts, those sexual thoughts about girls. So I probably had some level of scrupulosity. I definitely had anxiety over it, to be praying to be forgiven for my thoughts. That shows something about how strict things were, how they felt for me anyway.
Did you ever at some point make any research on the Church of Jesus Christ of Latter-day Saints?
Not at that point in my life. I never asked any questions. I just believed everything that was taught to me. I just let it all sink in, but I never really researched any of the things I was taught.
So what are the requirements to be a missionary since you were inactive?
So to become a missionary, to serve a mission, you have to be active in church. You have to be going to all your meetings on Sunday. You have to have a testimony of the scriptures and all the things. You have to believe it's true. You have to be paying tithing. I hadn't mentioned tithing at all. Are you familiar with the concept of tithing?
Yeah, that's one of the reasons I have not gone to church, because I don't want to pay them. I'm doing studies with them as an experiment, and yeah, I don't want it to cost me any money.
Yeah. So tithing, and I know there's a few Christian religions that have tithing, but so it's not totally unique to the Mormon church. There's somewhere they pass around a gathering plate, right? Where you can just put in however much you feel you should, and it's given to the preacher, whatever. Tithing in the Mormon church, every member, once they turn 8, they're expected to pay 10% of their income.
Eight, you say?
Yeah, as young as 8 years old. When you get baptized, as young as eight, because that's when you get baptized. Once you get baptized is when you're expected to pay tithing. So there will be some people that are converts that are baptized when they're adults that'll start paying when they're adults. It just is from whenever you're baptized. So could be as young as 8 years old. So when I was given allowance, I had to pay tithing on my allowance. 10% of any income you just pay to the church, and it's part of their scripture. They've made it so tithing is always a requirement to go to the temple, to serve a mission, to get married in the temple, any of the major things. You have to be an active full tithe payer. They only pay when you want to. You have to be paying it all the time. So for example, if you're getting $500 a week, then you have to pay $50 a week. Or if your salary, $2,000, $60,000 a year, whatever, you have to pay 10% of that, whatever. So 10% of your income yearly. And it's the original teaching is off of your surplus interest, but the church has manipulated it to be all of your income. Super controlling. I paid tithing when I was, what's that?
How would they know what you're making?
They have no way of knowing, so it's an honor system. They just trust that you're paying what you're supposed to pay. However, there have been some bishops who have somehow become aware of people's income and have told members, we know you've made this much, you haven't been paying your tithing. And some people get out their checkbook and write a big check for what they've missed. While I was active in church, I was paying tithing. Even though I wasn't going to church, I still paid tithing because I was indoctrinated to believe that if I didn't, I would go to hell.
Wow.
So I didn't serve a mission though. For one thing, I didn't believe the church was true. Deep inside, I didn't fully believe it. So I wouldn't be able to go sell something to people that I don't believe in myself. And I have anxiety and depression. And so just the thought of going to a stranger's door trying to sell them something scared the hell out of me. I knew I would never be able to do that. So I didn't serve a mission.
And it's okay if you don't serve? They don't pressure you, or you're not a bad person doing so?
They do pressure you. And that really complicated things for me. I knew I was a disappointment to my family for not serving a mission because everyone before me did. Girls are taught that they should only date and marry returned missionaries. So because I didn't serve a mission, I became undateable to the girls that were members of the church. Like, they had no interest in me at all since I didn't serve a mission. Because they want the most righteous spiritual priesthood holders. And since I didn't go on a mission, I wasn't one of those. Also, one other requirement for missions, one of the major things is, even though missionaries are basically doing work for the church, they're trying to get people to join the church. They're salesmen is all they are, really, if you look at it that way. They're just salesmen. You would think the church would pay them to go out and do their work, but they don't. In fact, to go serve a mission, the person going on the mission has to pay for all the expenses themselves. And if they can't afford it, they have to somehow come up with the money. Like, the church will not pay for someone to go on a mission. The person going on a mission has to somehow come up with a way to pay for it.
The lodging and food and everything?
Food, lodging, travel, everything. Monthly, daily living expenses, everything.
Wow. So the parents pay for that, basically.
Yeah, the parents the parents.
Wow. Yeah, because I've spoken to a lot of missionaries and I've asked them about that.
Yeah, I didn't serve a mission and that added on more guilt for me. It made the dating pool smaller for me because, like I said, most girls, Mormon girls, would not